Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, there are moments in life when it seems the fire burns out. You can see the little graphic up on the screens. When the passion we once had fades away. When the victories we once celebrated feel like distant memories. When we find ourselves not in the mountaintop, but we find ourselves in a cave. Maybe feeling alone, afraid, wondering if God is still with us. That's where Elijah finds himself this day in 1 Kings chapter 19. He finds himself not in triumph, but in retreat. Not in confidence, but in despair. And yet it's precisely there, in that cave, that God meets him. It's not in the thunder, it's not in the fire, it's in the whisper. So this story is not just about Elijah, it's about us as well. It's about how God deals with the weary, how he deals with the broken, how he deals with the burnt out. It's about how God speaks, not always in the dramatic, but so often in the gentle. And it's about God who renews his servants, calls them forward once again. So let's walk through this account or this story together. Let's listen for the whisper this morning here in the sanctuary of the Lord, and let's rediscover, I pray, the grace of God that meets us in our caves. So to understand Elijah's despair, I think we need to rewind, if you will, and go back to 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah, he had just experienced one of the most dramatic victories in all of Scripture. Maybe you remember up on Mount Carmel. He's challenged the prophets of Baal, 500 of them, in a spiritual showdown. They called upon their God, beating themselves with whips, and nothing happened. Elijah, though, right, he called on the Lord, and the fire fell down from heaven. In fact, it was so dramatic, the people that were there cried out, "The Lord, he is God." What a moment of triumph. But it sure didn't last very long. Queen Jezebel, if you remember, she was furious at this defeat of her 500 prophets. So she sends a death threat against Elijah. And he runs. He runs hard. He runs fast. He flees into the wilderness. He collapses under a broom tree. And he prays this prayer on the screen. "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life." Dear friends, that's not just fear. That's despair. Elijah is spiritually exhausted. Elijah feels like a failure. "I've been very zealous for the Lord," he says, "but the people have forsaken your covenant. I alone am left." Have you ever felt that way? Maybe like your efforts didn't matter, like you were the only one trying to do what's right. Maybe like you're running on empty. Maybe you've griped this one. This one's from my own self, looking in the mirror of the law. Maybe you've said things like this too. "I've worked hard for my family. I've been zealous for the church. I tried to be a good citizen. I've helped out my neighbor. What good has come of it?" Elijah's story reminds us that even the faithful servants of God can feel overwhelmed. Even prophets can get depressed. And God doesn't condemn Elijah. Don't miss that. He doesn't condemn him for his weakness. He meets him in it, where he finds himself deep in a cave. Before God speaks, he ministers to Elijah's body, though. The angel touches him. He says, "Arise and eat." Twice, Elijah's fed by a miraculous angel of appearance of an angel. Twice, he's told to rest. See, God knows that sometimes the most spiritual thing to do is to rest and to eat, or in other words, to nourish our God-given bodies. Then Elijah journeys to Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb is also known as Mount Sinai. It's the mountain of God, where Moses received the law, where Moses encountered God. Elijah, He's hiding in a cave on that same mountain, Mount Sinai. And God comes to him and asks him this question: "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And from the tense of the Hebrew scripture, I want you to know, it's not a rebuke, okay? This is not a rebuke, these words. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Not a rebuke, it's an invitation. God is drawing Elijah out. Not only physically, you see, out of the cave, but he's drawing him out spiritually as well. And then comes this famous scene, right? God tells Elijah to stand on the mountain right at the mouth of the cave, and the Lord is going to pass by. The same thing that happened to Moses on Mount Sinai. Now Elijah, the Lord is about to pass by. And then we have that great and powerful wind that tears the mountain apart. He's not in the wind. The earthquake, but the Lord isn't in the earthquake. Then fire, but the Lord is not in the fire. And then on the screen, and after the fire came, a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. The Hebrew phrase literally means this: a thin silence. A thin silence. A small, still whisper of a voice, and that's where God is. Why? As far as I can see, because Elijah didn't need any more drama in his life, did he? I mean, he just had fire fall down from heaven and consume all of the altar and the water around it that he poured. He had heard the crowd, "Yay!" What he needed now was intimacy. He didn't need more drama. He needed reassurance. He needed God's presence. So God came to Elijah, not with a spectacle, but he came to him in subtlety. Not with power, but with peace. And this moment, I believe, is deeply theological. And why is that, Pastor? Because it challenges our assumptions on how God works, does it not? In the ancient world, I just share with you, gods were associated with power, right? With storms and earthquakes and fire. But the God of Israel is very different, our God. He isn't limited to displays of might. He is present right in the quiet. He's present in the hidden. He's present in the humble. And this is a foreshadowing of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus came down to earth, when he came, there wasn't thunder, there wasn't lightning. He came in a baby in a manger. He came in weakness. You see, he came in whispers. And he still does. He comes to us in the quiet reading of the scripture. He comes to us in the stillness of prayer. He comes in bread and wine of Holy Communion. He comes in the gentle voice of a friend meeting you in a need. He comes in the whisper of grace. Are we listening? After the whisper, God speaks again, though. But he doesn't just comfort Elijah. Don't miss this. He recommissions him on the screen. He said, "Go back the way you came. Anoint Hazael king over Aram, Jehu king over Israel, and Elisha a prophet in your place." In other words, God is saying to Elijah, "I'm not done with you yet, see? I still have work for you to do." And then God says something even more powerful. He comes in and he says, "I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal." Elijah thought he was alone. This is what this is all about. He thought he was alone, but Elijah wasn't alone. God preserved that faithful remnant. This is a huge turning point for Elijah. He's renewed. He's recommissioned. He leaves the cave. He finds Elisha. And he passes on the mantle of leadership. The mission continues on. And then the passage ends with Elijah calling Elisha. Elisha is out plowing in the field. Ordinary work, by the way. Don't miss that. But when Elisha throws his cloak over Elisha, he knows what it means. He leaves everything behind to follow. It's a powerful picture for you and I of discipleship. Elijah doesn't hesitate. He sacrifices his oxen, he burns his plows, and he takes off and follows Elijah. It's a reminder that God calls ordinary people like you and me to do extraordinary things. And it's a reminder that the mission of God continues from generation to generation to generation. Elijah's story didn't end in the cave. It continues in Elisha. And through Elisha, guess what? It continues through us today. So what does this mean, this story, this account for us today, 2025, June 29th? You know, when you find yourself in the cave. Well, Elijah, we know he wasn't at his best. Elijah was afraid. He was depressed. He was ready to quit. And that's when God came in, okay? God doesn't wait for you and I to have it all together either. We have a God who meets us right in our messes. He feeds us. He gives us rest. And then he speaks. God meets us in our weakness, dear friends, when we put ourselves in a position to hear and receive. We live in a noisy world, there's no doubt about it. We expect God to speak through those big events in this noisy world, you know, the dramatic signs, the emotional highs, but often God speaks in the quiet. The Lord calls gently so that we are not so hard on ourselves, you see. God gently lifts the weak ones up with forgiveness. Are we making space to hear him? Are we listening for that quiet whisper in our own lives? The scripture tells us today that he speaks in whispers. Elijah thought his ministry was over, but God had more for him to do, and the same is true for you. No matter how discouraged you are, God still has a purpose for you. God still calls you to serve, to love, to witness. God is not done with each and every one of you that's sitting in this sanctuary. Your witness is being here this morning. Elijah thought he was the only one left. But God had reserved, what, those 7,000 people? Dear friends, you're not alone. The church is way bigger than you and I think it is. There are others who are faithful as well. You are part of a community, you're part of a body, you're part of a family. You are not alone. And ultimately, this story, though, dear friends, is about Jesus. Jesus in the cave. Christ in the cave. Why do I say that? Because he too knew what it was like to be alone. Think about the Garden of Gethsemane. There he prayed in anguish, sweating drops of blood. See, Jesus knows what you're experiencing. Jesus knows what it's like to be in mental anguish, to be in mental agony. He knows. And what did Jesus do? He prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. He prayed to be strengthened, and he continued to pray because he knew of the work that was before him. He prayed that he would have peace within God's will. On the cross, how about there? Jesus is in a cave there on the cross, isn't he? He was all alone up there. And in a still, small, gentle voice, I'm sure, he said this on the screen, my God, why have you forsaken me? But we know God was there. And through the silence of the tomb came the whisper of the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the greater Elijah. Not only can Jesus hear the whisper, get this, Jesus is the whisper. He is the whisper. He is the Word who became flesh, and he still comes to us through that Word and through the sacrament, through that body and blood, lying on the altar waiting for you to receive it. He comes to you in spirit and truth. He comes to you in grace and forgiveness. The gospel, dear friends, is our hope. Fulfilled and guarded by Christ our Lord, who gives us the assurance that sin, death, and the power of the devil will never lay claim of our souls as long as he has residency in our heart. It's not a gracious coming down like a great wind or an earthquake or a fire. This is a grace coming to you in a small, still voice of the gospel. The promises of God that come through his word have brought us out of death into life, that we might be with him forever. Dear friends, maybe today you feel like Elijah. Maybe you feel like you're in a cave. Maybe you feel like you're just at the mouth of the cave. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you wonder if your faithfulness matters. It's been said, though, when God lets you stumble, he does so that you might fall into his arms. So the next time you're feeling down, depressed, discouraged, overwhelmed, the next time you're feeling like throwing in the towel because you've had enough, turn to God. Turn to him. Confess your inadequacies. Tell him about your failures. Let him know you are a sinful creature and you know your position before him. And then hear that whisper of God that he is with you. He's not abandoned you. He's still at work for you today, and you are not alone. What a comfort this is. I hope it is for you this day that you know in spite of who you are, God still uses you for his good. That God is with us, consequently preserving us. The strength God still gives to his people is yours. And when we remember that handful or that shell full of water that was christened us, the Lord speaks when you remember your baptism. When we listen to him say that this bread and this wine on this altar is his body and blood, we remember that he's talking about himself, the resurrected body and blood of Jesus Christ, the living Lord giving himself to you for forgiveness. In the Bible, God speaks his promise. Prayer, we speak his words back to him, and then he speaks his word to us, sometimes in just a whisper. God speaks to you today. And God sends us to some friend maybe this day as well as he speaks through you. So listen for his voice. Listen to his voice. Rest in his grace. And then go like Elijah. Go back the way you came. Go with renewed strength. Go with the assurance that the Lord is near. Dear friends, you are never alone. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds, knowing that you are never alone.